It's Friday, October 30th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a primer of the Tech Podcast Network. Heaven, I got a great show for you and a few Halloween stories, along with a couple of UFO stories. It's going to be fun. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Oahu, Hawaii. Hey, everyone, how's everyone doing? I tell you, it's Halloween time, and I got a lot to share with you tonight. Of course, we're up live on Ustream. We're getting started this evening kind of late here in Honolulu to get going. But got a few night owls up with us on Ustream, so I want to welcome all of you that are watching the show there. Hope you'll hang with the whole show. And you know what's a good thing? We're getting ready to change clocks this weekend, so that means you get to watch me an hour earlier. An hour earlier, so it maybe won't be past all of your bedtime, and you can come hang out with me, and we can talk tech late into the evenings for those of you on the east and west coast of the United States. For those of you that are tuning in via a downloaded podcast, hey, I want to welcome all the Ohana to the show, and of course, I want to thank you all for staying subscribed. I want to give a big shout-out to our new listeners. Hey, this show is recorded every Monday and Thursday night, and then released every Tuesday and Friday morning. So get subscribed to the show. You can do that via the iTunes link on the website, Zoom Marketplace, whatever type of portable media device you may have. If you've got an iPhone or a BlackBerry, you'll find the show on all the popular podcatcher devices, or you can subscribe via an RSS feed. Most importantly, you want to get signed up for our newsletter. The newsletter gets you the show notes of everything that I'm going to cover tonight, all of the listener-submitted links, and along with, all the content that I have in the show and any little commentary that I may have. So let me see here. What else have I got here on the list? I want to welcome listeners from 160 countries. I want to welcome you all to the show, and thanks for your longtime support. All of you that have listened to the show worldwide. Hey, I got a special announcement. The show now, and I've made a major commitment here, to stream, or not stream, but record the show in video as well, and do the post-processing of that video, and have the show shown on Blip, on YouTube, Vimeo, and a variety of other sites that I'm going to distribute the show on. So we're going to be the first show went up yesterday. And actually, what happens is I kind of had to work the process out. The TriCaster is running right now, recording the show. And as soon as the show gets done tonight, I will export encode the AVI file that it creates and drop that to an external hard drive. And then I'll actually put the TriCaster back in replay mode and let it play all night for those of you that are checking the show out later. So for about 30 minutes or so, the actual show will go offline and we'll come back online for the replays. But as soon as I pull that AVI file off, then I'm running a conversion process on it. I'm going to be converting it from an AVI to an MP4. That takes a few hours because the file size is 800 megs. By the time it's all done, an hour and 15 minutes of show or so is about 800 megs in size. So hopefully when I wake up in the morning, that file will be completely encoded, and then I'll have the account at Blip TV standing by, and I'll start this thing to upload. And it takes about an hour and 30 minutes to upload 800 megs. It does that automatically. As soon as Blip gets done with it, it converts it into Flash, and then it bounces it out to YouTube, Vimeo, Facebook, Twitter, a variety of other sites, putting the link up. And then the show is really kind of on those sites as a streaming, as a flash video. And then we'll drop the actual M4V file into the special video feed that I have at Geek News Central. So all told, the video will follow the regular podcast by about 12 hours. And we'll see how that's going to work. I've committed to doing this for a while. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it on the road when I travel just because of the bandwidth requirements out there. So far, the number of views on YouTube, since it's the first time, it was okay today. So I'll be giving you updates on that. Of course, you can see it on YouTube anyway for the amount of views. But we'll take some time and see if it's worth it and if we can draw in some new audience members from those venues. So I'm going to commit to doing that for a while, and we'll play with it and see how it goes. One thing I am going to do here immediately is the lighting has to get fixed in the studio. The lighting situation is simply horrendous. I've got these great cameras. You know, I'm looking at, a dollar amount of cameras here that's significant, and yet the lights I have invested hardly any money in. So I'm going to bite the bullet and order light panels, probably three of them, three 1x1 light panels. Get those. Those are LED lights, because it's basically low power, low heat. While they're crazily expensive, I just think it's going to really change the dynamic of the actual video recording in here. And there's going to be some major changes in the studio as well. My wife and I were talking about it tonight at dinner, so we're going to be making some major moves. I would expect within 6 months, the show is going to move to the garage. And what I am going to do is build a new room in the garage. And it's going to become the new Geek News Central podcast studio for both video and audio. I'm going to be doing a lot. I've got some big plans here for 2010, so I'm pretty excited what we're going to move forward with. It's a big financial investment in the show. I think you guys will have fun following along. But no matter what, don't forget, the show will remain primarily audio-focused, and that's not going to change anytime soon. And, of course, I made an adjustment on the camera earlier, and I need to go over here and bump this thing. Yeah, that's better. So, you know, it's just a work in progress. So, anyway, that's a big announcement. Hey, got my Roku box and was playing around with it. We watched a movie at like 11 o'clock at night last night and through my Netflix account. And the instant streaming worked pretty good. Quality wasn't bad. I'm a little underimpressed with the offerings at this point on the Roku because Major League Baseball, Amazon Videos, Netflix were really the only three offerings. I guess I got to figure out how to get this other stuff added to it. So I'll be playing around with that here over the next couple of days and giving you guys more of an update as well. I do want to repeat that I am hiring writers for Geek News Central as well at geeknewscentral.com. So we've had a couple of inquiries. I'll be sending emails out to those folks, but looking for a total of three to add to the team. It just seems like, you know, we get a number of people that are writing on the website, and it kind of goes in an ebb and flux of how much content's being submitted. And I understand everyone's busy, so we're just going to add to the numbers to try to keep the flow of content up there as well. I want to remind you about the big survey going on. Hey, if you haven't done it already, please do it. The link will be in the show notes tonight. This is our national, international survey that's going on across the United States with all podcasts at Raw Voice, Blueberry, Tech Podcast, and so forth, participating in. It's a big nationwide survey, so we can collect data on listeners nationwide. So we appreciate your support in taking that survey. Let's talk a little bit about some of the fun things I've shared in the show over the past 4 years, going on five. Actually, we're at 5 years. What is it? Yeah, we are already at, this is a, yeah, we're officially past 5 years of doing the show now. So I actually kind of missed the actual 5-year anniversary of the show. Just tells you how busy I was. But I've told a number of stories over the years. A number of you have asked me to retell these stories on tonight's show, and it's a Halloween. Is a kid, your kids probably have been participating in doing trick-or-treating or whatever in the local communities either today or tomorrow. Here in Hawaii, it goes down on Saturday. But I've got a couple of UFO stories. These are the real deal. I have a couple of ghost stories for you. We're going to go a little long, obviously, in personal commentary tonight, but I got a lot of great tech for you as well. But these are basically a repeat. People have asked me to tell these stories. And let's get into UFO number one. When I was a kid, probably 13 years old, my family and I were – actually, I was with my family in Michigan. We were – had went into town or something, and it was a summer evening, probably mid-July, August time frame. My folks never bought vehicles with air conditioning. It was a – I think the car that they had at the time was a Chrysler. It was one of them real long-bodied Chryslers, and lots of room in the back seat. You probably could have put six or seven people back there. It was, you know, one of those big cars. And we were coming home, and I guess the best way to describe it is we were heading due east. And we came to a T in the road, and my dad turned the car to go south towards our house, which was about 10 miles away. And on the left-hand side of the road was a row of maple trees. And I remember they were maples. Every fall and winter, they would have maple buckets collecting sap to make maple syrup from. So these were big, old maple trees, but yet they were spaced far enough apart and high enough where the branches started that you could see in between them and actually over the roofs of houses behind. So it wasn't like they were obstructing the view at all, but there's this long row of these trees. And I remember my dad turned, as we turned south, we hadn't gone too far, and I don't know who in the car noticed it. I can't remember at this point, but we saw an object off to the east of us. Basically, I was sitting in a passenger seat in the back, and I had to kind of squint over my sister's where my sister was looking. I'm looking out the window, and all I can say is we saw this object that, for all intents and purposes, looked like a – well, I guess the best way to describe it is if you take a Coke can and you lay it on its side and you make the ends flat and you paint it black, and then you multiply it by about 500 times and make it big, about the size of a big fuel tank. You know, I'm talking maybe – 25 feet in diameter and maybe 50 feet long. I don't really, the representation of size at this point is important, except that this object was hovering, and this is a moonlit night, behind a house in through this tree line, which I can see real good. My dad stops the car, and again, it's summer, the windows are down. I'm getting chicken skin just talking about this, and there was a couple of lights on it. And this thing moved forward very slowly and no noise, and then it pivoted on its axis. It did a 90-degree turn, came across in front of the vehicle, crossed over to the other side of the road, and then now it's on my side, okay? So it's, I would say it's kind of like kitty corner. It's up and to the right a little bit from where our car is, and it does another 90-degree turn. So it's really kind of did this up, over, across, and turn. So it's the Coke can is laying flat, and I can see the back side of it close. I mean, like 100 feet close. About that time, my dad decides it is time to move. And again, we're sitting on a paved road, dead stop, in the summer, and I'm freaking. My dad hits the gas. Matter of fact, floors it. It's got the big old 8-cylinder 450 or whatever it had in it, and sets you right back in your seat. And we're going faster, and then this thing starts pacing us. Pacing, 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 pacing. And it wasn't too long, maybe 30 seconds. And this thing decided it had enough with us, enough time playing with us, and it did one of those classics, shoo, and it was gone. From a dead stop to unimaginable speeds. Now, thinking back, I knew nothing about the sound barrier. I know nothing at that time. I didn't know the dynamics of relative speed away from a vehicle. Having spent 24 years in the Navy, seen plenty of fast movers, plenty of jets, plenty of helicopters, I can tell you with utmost certainty that this thing wasn't from here. And the speed at which it accelerated and banked away from us was faster than any supersonic jet that I have ever seen in my entire time being in the military. And this thing, when it departed, I mean, it flat out got and gone. Nothing was said in the vehicle. We got home, parked the car. I'm like 13. We live in a two-story house. I go to my room and close the drapes. I think I was shell-shocked for a long time. It freaked me out so bad, I think I become a little bit scared of the dark for a number of years. I remember I would always pull the shades down before dark, and I had one of those cheapy shades where there was like a quarter of an inch on each side of the window, and it just bugged me. I always thought somebody was watching me for many, many years after that. So anyway, that's UFO number one. And really, even to the day my dad died, he would never really talk too much about that. My mom and I, we've talked about it several times, my sister. So I've told it a couple times on the show, but that's UFO story number one. UFO story number two actually happened when I was still in the military, and I actually saw it with a group of other people when we were doing some flights. And really, I can't go into a lot of details, but what I saw and what the rest of us saw was what I would describe as an orb. And all I can really say, it looked like a little ball of energy. It really didn't have any characteristics to it, but it was something that the group that I was working with spent a lot of time talking about, because we all were pretty much convinced we saw something we couldn't comprehend. At the same time, we are trying to work out different ways of what it could have been or what it wasn't, and yet we never were really able to figure it out. But it was some sort of an orb, and pretty trippy, to be honest with you. So that really was kind of anticlimactical as far as the UFO number two thing. But I'm telling you, there's some weird stuff out there, and I know a lot of you have seen some weird things as well. So that's enough on the UFO stuff. Now let's go ahead and talk a little bit about ghosts. Now, many of you remember that a couple hundred shows were recorded when I lived on historic Ford Island here in Hawaii. Now, those of you that have seen the movie Pearl Harbor know that Ford Island was the place where, during World War II, when there was the Japanese attack to Pearl Harbor, the USS Arizona sunk, the USS Utah sunk. And where my house was on Ford Island, you could almost draw a straight line between the USS Utah Memorial and the USS Arizona Memorial, and it would come within 5 or 10 feet of going straight through my home. That if you drew a straight line to the center points of both of those memorials. And we had a bunch of weird stuff happen. I lived in a brand new housing area. House was brand new. We were the first people in it. Matter of fact, when we moved in, the house had been probably finished like 7 days before and accepted. It was a military housing. And it really started off initially as some weird things happening. My wife uses those real nice fancy hooks to hold pictures on the wall. It's those ones where you pound in on an angle and they got the real nice hook. You know, though, nothing falls off the wall when you're using those. And we had a number of pictures that were knocked off the wall. Knocked off the wall. They weren't pulled off the wall. They were knocked off the wall. And then one night we were watching TV. It was just her and I. Kids had went to bed. And this is, again, chicken skin. The show Chris Angel was on. Chris Angel and his Mind Freak magic show. Well, Chris Angel was doing that. He was being buried alive. Now, I got to preface this. Over by my front door where our house was, we had a little chime hanging on the closet door. So not on the main door of the house, but the main door is like facing south, and the closet door is kitty corner to that facing west. And the chime is on the door with – it's just basically a broom closet where we put shoes and that kind of stuff. So we had central air, so there's no windows open. Doors are closed. AC is on because I love my AC. And I'm telling my wife, you know, I says a lot of magicians have tried this trick and they have died. Now, the instant, the very instant I said died, it was like someone had reached up and slapped that chime. Da-ding, 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 and it's rocking back and forth, flipping. You know, like someone has reached up to it and whacked it with their hand, flat-faced. Her and I looked at each other. Our eyeballs got about as big as they could be. I freaked out. I was like, whoa. And that started it. A few weeks later, my son, who is 3 at the time, and my wife are downstairs. And my wife and son heard footsteps in the upper part of the house. Again, we're in a home, single-family home. And my son turns and says, Dad, he thinks I'm upstairs. I'm not upstairs. And no one else is at home. Well, we had consulted with some Hawaiians, and they had basically told us what to do. We figured we were on a walking path between the USS Utah and the Arizona, and that dead sailors were traversing our house. And we basically told them, we're not here to harm you or disturb you. We're living here. We're in the Navy. You know, please don't disturb us. And we basically spoke to the house and spoke to what we assumed at the time were spirits in the house. That kind of ended it for a while. Then one night, I was working late. Matter of fact, I don't know if I had recorded a show or whatever, but it was like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the evening. It was really late, and I had my office on the second floor of the house. And my wife was downstairs, and she had actually fell asleep. So I had went down and told her, hey, wake up. Come on, you need to go to bed. And I got her up, and we had went up to the bedroom. And I had just about gotten asleep, and my 3-year-old comes in the room kind of babbling. And he's scared. And he's talking about blue eyes and blue man. And I'm like confused. I don't know what the heck he's talking about. Because it's just kind of this talk. And so I get up. And about that time, my son, who doesn't wake up for nothing, he was 9 at the time, my older son, he got up and told me, hey, Dad, Chris got sick in the bedroom. So my wife got up, and we felt Chris, and Chris was running a temperature. And if I remember correctly, it was over 100 degrees. So, you know, he's kind of weirded out right now, talking about blue man, blue eyes, in the room. So, you know, I go get the sheets changed in the bedroom and clean that up, and she takes care of him in the bathroom, and I'm kind of talking to him, and he's telling me, Dad, the blue man is in the room. And I'm like, what do you mean the blue man's in the room? And he points to the corner of our bedroom, and he says, the blue man is in the corner watching us. Now, I'm like freaking. Now, I think he's got a little temperature, or he's got a pretty good temperature. So is he seeing something? Is it hallucinations? You know, what's going on? Well, we kind of get everybody settled down and went to bed. Next morning, fever's kind of pretty much gone. I'm kind of like still weirded out, and I'm questioning him. And I'm saying, okay, Chris, you know, what did you see last night? He said, I saw a man with blue eyes, with in blue. Well, the Utah and Arizona sunk, right? So obviously men drowned, so they probably turned blue. And plus sailors were at the time of that day were wearing the blue, dark blue dungaree pants and a light blue shirt. So the blue man with the blue eyes also has this name, Jeffrey. He's got this name of this person, Jeffrey, and if I remember correctly, he saw Jeffrey a couple more times. and said Jeffrey was friendly. He would play. There wasn't any aggression. And boy, I tell you, I finally kind of got to a point, if I remember correctly, I kind of like asked Jeffrey to leave. So that kind of wrapped up our ghost experience while we were on Ford Island. Now, I don't know if that trips you out or not, but I wanted to share that with you tonight, being that it's just about Halloween. And those are my ghost and UFO stories. So I'd love to hear your comments. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotlines +1-619-342-7365. Again, +1-619-342-7365. And again, geeknews@gmail.com. So, hey, I know you guys came for tech, right? But had to share that with you. It's been a long time since I shared those stories with you. But hey, let's take a moment here, of course, and thank the sponsors, the ones that are keeping the lights on here. And your support of these sponsors really makes it happen here, okay? So here's what I want you to do. You guys have been hearing me talk about GoToMeeting for a while. I've been talking about its value. I've been talking about how you can hold meetings online quickly, easily, and fast with a single with a click of a button. It's simply the easiest online meeting service available. It just works every time. You know, everyone that you're going to have a meeting with, they just get on their computer. They see your desktop on their computer screen. It's just like meeting in person. You can use a little voice IP application. When I'm here at home, I use my my Logitech video cam. It's got a microphone in it. I use that to actually converse with the folks in the meeting. And you have an unlimited meetings for one low flat rate. You, my audience, can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's unlimited online meetings free. You must visit, though, www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for a free trial. Click the link on the website, the GoToMeeting link there. Doesn't matter where you're at. Save yourself some money. And don't do like I did last week and go out to Silicon Valley, and waste a bunch of cash just for a two-day trip. Do your meetings online, okay? Hey, GoDaddy, domain names, servers, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts, SSL certificates to make your business secure. These are products that you need to have your online existence associated with. And when you get over to GoDaddy and you're looking for a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, or even one of their great price hosting accounts, don't forget me when you get to the checkout counter. Use my promo codes. There's a link at geeknewscentral.com to get a hold of some of those, one that'll fit your exact product that you're buying. Popular ones that people use a lot are the Todd code, T-O-D-D. That'll save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 can be used on domain orders. It's 15% off on orders $20 or more. ComSale, that'll get you .coms at $7.49 on renewals as well. So when you're getting a renewal, don't forget to use the ComSale code. And, of course, Todd20. Todd20 will save you 20% off anytime that you sign up for a one-year shared hosting account. And a big thanks to the folks over at GoDaddy for being my longtime sponsor. 4+ years here of supporting the show, and the only reason they do month after month is because you support them through your purchase of products at GoDaddy.com. So thanks for GoDaddy, and of course, thanks for GoToMeeting for being continued sponsors. Get those trials, download those domain names, or actually buy those domain names, buy those hosting accounts, and use my codes. And if you're not going to use them, share them with people that you know, or link back to my promo page from your blogs or websites or Twitter accounts. We appreciate it. Okay, those of you on Ustream, hey, make sure you Twitter everybody. Let them know that the regular part of the show is going to start. So if they only wanted to listen to tech, that they can get involved, because the tech portion is going to start right now if Chrome is going to cooperate with me. Okay, have you seen it? I've seen it. I've done a Google search for Eric Clapton just on purpose. And yes, I found some Eric Clapton albums. Some singles. I could listen to little snippets of the music. There's even a way to buy. So if you're on Google now and you do any type of music search, yes, my friends, you can now pick up music from Google, from the Google Music Store in partnership with La La. And I think they're also working with MySpace, Rhapsody, iLike, a variety of sites, iMeme. So these are all licensing deals that they have struck, Google has. And so anyway, pick up your music straight from Google now. Big Brother has moved into the music business. I'm sure that makes Apple happy. Going to be talking about Apple a little more here in a few minutes in the show. But the Google Music streams are useful. And while not necessarily revolutionary, they're definitely using the power of their search engine to get you in there. All right. How many of you bought a Windows PC from a manufacturer and you've turned the thing on and the first thing you notice when it loads up is there's about 30 crapware apps on it? I'm going to switch screens here and try this for a second. That camera's not quite right, is it, folks? How many of you have gotten some of that crapware on your PCs? Doesn't it just drive you nuts? I know it drives me crazy because you spend like an hour removing all those. And it always leaves me with a bad taste in my mouth because I've spent this good money on a new PC. And yet, it's already kind of like jiggered up because they put this crapware on there that, you know, I think it's uninstalled, but is there any lingering stuff left? You really never know. But the Microsoft stores are doing something unique. The computers at Microsoft stores do not have any of the crapware that Windows PCs typically come with. They still have an assortment of Microsoft and Adobe software. They also do include Windows Live Essentials and Microsoft Security Essentials, but they don't come with all that other stuff. And you can actually work through the Microsoft Store staff and get some of the apps, full licensed versions of stuff that you want, added to it pretty easily. So we all know that there's some applications out there. It's called PC Decrapifier that is actually designed to remove all this stuff from new PCs. And but it is nice to get one, be able to buy a machine, has just, you know, the basics on it. And, you know, you really have this truly fresh install. So I do applaud Microsoft for doing this. And really what it basically means is that those companies haven't paid Microsoft enough money yet to put those applications on those machines in those stores. That's all it really means. You know, that's how it boils down to. But I do applaud Microsoft for not doing that. We'll see how long it lasts before they sell out. We start seeing, you know, little apps on the machines that they sell at the Microsoft store. Okay, over on CNET, how many of you use Trillion? I use Pigeon now. I was a big Trillion fan for a while, but Trillion 4.1 beta for Windows is now available. And, you know, Trillion, Pigeon, some of these other applications, they've done really good in being able to really you don't have to run ICQ. You don't have to run AOL chat. You can do all your instant messaging through one application. Trillion's a good one. And so anyway, that's available for those of you that are Trillion users. You can download version 4.1 now. I'm always on the lookout for cool camera stuff for obvious reasons. Over on ehomeupgrade.com, I saw a new self-configuring IP camera with Twitter and YouTube support. It's from Aztec. It's $299. It's called the Aztec Mole Webcam. It's probably, from my opinion, one of the cooler IP cameras available to date. It looks like a point tilt zoom body minus the zoom. Comes with a little remote control, power supply, and antenna out the back. And this thing is smart. It features motion detection, has night vision, two-way audio, has remote pan. Oh, it does have pan and tilt. It can tweet, email, and it records video to an SD card, and it will also upload to YouTube. The video quality isn't too bad. According to the review at eHome Upgrade, it records at 320 by 240 or 640 by 480 in H.264. And I guess it's going to be available at Fry's, Costco, Amazon, Walmart, and Aztec.com. So if you're looking for an IP camera, pretty slick little deal here. And I got to figure out how I can get this thing to integrate with the TriCaster. And I'd put this bad boy, like, outside somewhere. So I have external feed. It'd be a little fun. But anyway, I have the link up in the show notes for you on this and links to all of the reviews. Hey, congratulations to NASA on the Ares 1X rocket launch. The only real snafu is that they're saying that the rocket has some damage in it. Apparently, there's a large dent on one of its brand new moon rocket sections. And they found that, divers found that. And there's an amazing picture here. It's almost like a picture out of Space Odyssey 2001. You've got guys in dive suits with big honking lights swimming next to this rocket stage that is basically standing upright in the water. It's a pretty amazing picture in itself. But the launch, to me, when I saw this thing punch out of Kennedy, it looked to me like it actually was tilting to the right. And I don't know if that was the normal takeoff motion of this thing, but it kind of freaked me out because I'm kind of used to the shuttle kind of coming up and doing a roll, then kind of pitching over. It was almost like this thing wasn't even off the pad yet, and it started to pitch. And I'm hoping that was planned, but if I was up there riding on top of that thing, I think I would be a little unnerved because, you know, no more had it started and it started to pitch. I was like, whoa, hold on to your shorts, because it would give you that feeling of, is this thing going to continue to pitch? But a 2-minute run on it, and NASA's pretty happy, but they'll get it back to KFC and see what's going on with this dent and get a explanation out. It could have happened from a parachute deployment or something like that, but that's their only concern at this point. Hey, a couple of shows ago, we talked about that drunk that got the DUI for, of course, it was convicted for driving his lazy boy down the street. Well, apparently, when this gentleman in Duluth, Minnesota, got his DUI, the police department confiscated his motorized Lazy Boy, and they put it up for sale on eBay. So the proceeds are going to go to the police and state and prosecuting attorney. The chief of the police there says the chair isn't street legal. This thing is going to sell big. I can almost guarantee it, but if you want a Lazy Boy to tool around the garage or down the street or sidewalk, it's available on eBay. I'll have the link up for it in the show notes. Shipping, of course, is probably going to be a little bit expensive, but would you guys buy this? You definitely don't want to have a beer while you're riding this thing, because if you do, you might end up in the same position this other guy did in the Huskow in the jail. So I guess the former owner, Dennis Anderson, is auctioning it off because he has to pay off some of his fines. So we'll see how this goes. Hey, happy birthday to the internet. The internet 40 its birthday is today. And really, the internet started off with it kind of something typical that a lot of us geeks are used to. The internet crashed in its initial test. Apparently, 40 years ago today, in 1969, there was three nodes that it was originally going to be four nodes, but only three of them were hooked up. The first was at UCLA. The second was at Stanford Research Institute. The other two at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and the University of Utah, which were not yet installed. But apparently when the geek got on the actual computer to actually log in, he typed the letter G in the login and the network crashed. So regardless, it's 40 years today, and the internet started off with a bang. All right, those of you that are international listeners, of course, there's 159 countries outside of the United States that listeners from the 159 countries that listen to the show, and many of you want to get access to the content over at Hulu. And while I don't visit Hulu myself personally, I don't go over there. I know a lot of you do. And Hulu offers a range of television shows for streaming, including Family Guy, The Daily Show, House, and a few other full-length movies. But if you're outside the U.S., they've been blocking it. But many of you have been using redirect services like Wiktopia and some others. It appears that Hulu has figured out what's going on here, and they're blocking now access to basically they're just cutting those. They're saying those IPs that those sites are running on are completely blocked. So you're going to have to find a new way around the firewall that Hulu has set up for you. So love to hear from our foreign listeners on how you're getting access to Hulu. We'll be quiet to keep it on the show, on the lowdown on the show. You guys let me know how you're getting there. Maybe you don't want to tell me your secrets, but I know many of you are getting access to it even though they've got it locked down. All right, let's go ahead and move on here over on Tech Dirt. Court has told the Pirate Bay founders they can no longer work on the Pirate Bay. Okay. Apparently, a court in Sweden, of course, which is odd here, is some of the Pirate Bay supposed administrators don't even work or don't even live in Sweden anymore. But a court has said here that they are no longer, they've issued an injunction saying that they can no longer physically work on the site. And they're banned from this. Now, I don't know how they're going to enforce this because the two individuals that have been banned from working on Pirate Bay don't live in Sweden. So, really, I don't know what this does. But, once again, the music industry over there is doing everything they can to kill the Pirate Bay. You know, most of the peer-to-peer people have moved on to the one of other hundreds of thousands of other BitTorrent sites. So, you know, as one falls, 20 more come up. Lawsuits against cable company for not offering a la carte channels has been dismissed, I guess, 2 years ago. And we probably talked about this. A class action lawsuit was filed against the cable companies for not offering a la carte channels. And this is an issue that, you know, we've talked about on the show a number of times. I know many of us wish that there was an a la carte offering available. I wish we could, because I don't watch sports. So, you know, that's, 20 channels I can get rid of that I don't want to play or pay for. You know, when it's the Super Bowl or the World Series, I'll pay pay-per-view or whatever, you know, for that amount. But I don't need hockey. I don't need the latest football games. And I know, guys, I know you're out there gasping. I don't watch sports, but I just don't have time. I really don't. Well, I watch a little NASCAR or IRL or Formula One once in a while, but that's about it. And so I don't really need those channels, and there's a variety of other channels I don't need, but the lawsuit has been dismissed. Is this class action suit is failed. So the district court has basically said that the plaintiffs failed to show the harm to the market. And, of course, we're going to see if they appeal that and if it gets any ground legs and moves forward in another court. I don't know, but for now, a la carte offering is dead so far as the court battle goes. And whether or not cable companies ever put a la carte available is another thing in its own issue. Over on Engadget, I know we've been talking about the Droid a little bit, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the features of the Droid tonight. But if you've been looking to get a smartphone, this baby looks like it might be a good offering from Verizon. So when it comes available, I know many of you are probably going to be wanting to jump on the bandwagon here. We'll talk a little bit about the Droid's features. I should have had that linked right up with this next article. Let's see if I can find it. And that's not it. We'll come back to it. But anyway, I've got a good link to all the features of the Droid. Then we'll break down the actual cost and what it's capable of here in a minute. Hey, if you bought a 27-inch iMac, apparently, there's been a lot of folks that have bought that particular model, the new model that's out, and had all kinds of performance issues. And this is all over the Apple support boards. And apparently, the most common symptoms appear to be incredibly slow flash video playback, and people are also claiming that there's a bug forcing the hard drive to spin down. That's really causing Snow Leopard to become corrupt and then have to be reinstalled, and some permission issues as well. So we'll see if Apple gets their hands around this in short order and gets that hefty purchase back to the level of performance it needs to be at. Announced that Apple TV 3.0 software is out. If you have an Apple TV, you may have to reboot your Apple TV a couple of times. Matter of fact, mine was actually unplugged because I had plugged the Roku into the HDMI port that I had the Apple TV plugged into. So there's a new software update with iTunes Extras, LP, and Genius in tow. Along with that comes an update to iTunes. iTunes has been updated to version 9.0.2, add support for the Apple TV 3.0. Of course, it kills the Palm Pre-Sync feature. So the there's a new round in that battle going to happen. So we'll see if Palm comes right back and whacks away and figures a way around the latest block that Apple's trying to attempt on that device. And really, if you think about it, come on, Apple. You know, you're letting other devices hook to that software. Why are you, you know, why are you like X-naying the Palm Pre? Stop. iTunes 9 comes, of course, with a large number of features. It's got a supposed improved look and feel in the browser area. Says the iTunes Store has a new look. Of course, it provides iTunes LP and iTunes Extras, which create a unique experience that features exclusive interviews, videos, photos, and more. It's got home sharing features. Of course, it's got the Genius mixes, which I don't think are very good. I turned Genius feature on one of my machines, and it gave me a, you know, I could have done better, to be honest with you, a better pick. But anyway, if you got an Apple TV, get it updated. Let me know what you feel about it, how you like the update. I'll be updating mine and giving you a report on it on the next show. Geeknews@gmail.com is where you call to where you email to leave your comments. And if you want to call and leave comments about the show, our voicemail hotline is open 24 hours a day for your calling pleasure. +1, that's area code 619-342-7365. All right, over on InHabitat, it's a green blog. They're talking about a new device that they're going to be able to install on sidewalks in cities that you traverse today. What this is a, basically, it looks like a regular concrete tile, but when you step on it, it depresses a little bit. And every time it depresses, the 5 millimeters that it goes down excites, creates a little energy. So they say by putting this in high traffic areas like in London, New York, and certain areas in Tokyo, LA, and so forth, where there's a lot of foot traffic, this device could get as many as 50,000 steps a day pressing against it, up and down, up and down, up and down. Which, when this happens, every footstep creates 2.1 watts of electricity per hour. So what that does is charge lithium batteries that can be used to support lights in the area and bus stops and that sort of thing. So they're pretty excited about this. I don't know what the price is for installation or what the upkeep is, but you know, it's almost inviting. It almost, you can see it, the way it's set up, it almost looks like, hey, let's go ahead and stomp on this thing. And I'm sure that's what's going to end up happening. People are going to figure out what this thing's for, and they're going to jump up and down on it and probably break it. But this is a product that is new. It's being tested in a variety of places. We'll see how well it works out. And, you know, creates a little energy from our foot power as we're walking around. All right, good article on GigaOhm talking about metered broadband. If you could actually pay for metered broadband, in other words, if you could pay for more speed and in return have metered broadband, would you do so? If you could say, okay, I want to pay for X number of gigs per month, but I want it at this speed, would you be willing to pay for more speed for the restriction of having metered broadband? I think I would. While I like unlimited bandwidth, really what I crave for is more speed. And I know many of you are on Fios, and you probably have all the speed you need and like your unlimited bandwidth, you know, but many of us, you know, I haven't had a speed update here in Honolulu 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years. And I keep promising, but nothing yet. But would you pay a little more for metered broadband if you could get the speed that you so desired? That's a question I have for you all tonight, and that's a question posed by Stacy Higginbotham on GigaOhm. I have the link up to the show notes. You guys can check that out. Now, I tell you, while standard phone lines, copper phone lines, are continuing to decline, voice IP sales are just going up through the roof. Voice IP-based telephone service brought in nearly $20.7 billion in revenue during the first 6 months of 2009. And this is incredible. This is incredible growth. The PTSN, which are the lines that we, you know, many of you still have today, that really when you pick the phone up, gives you a dial tone. It's hooked to a copper line to switch at your local, you know, at your local phone company. But many of us have voice IP lines that we pick up, and it doesn't go to a PTSN. It goes to, you know, a voice IP account. Maybe it goes back to a switch some point. In a different location, but you know, voice IP is completely different than that. So, but it's seeing huge revenues, $20.7 billion the first 6 months of this year, and companies are doing real well. Okay, here's the article I should have had queued up with the Droid article earlier. All right, let's talk about the new generation of smartphones. We've got the iPhone 3GS, the Palm Pre, the MyTouch 3G by T-Mobile, and the Motorola Droid by Verizon. Storage capacity, and again, I'm going to say this in order, iPhone, Palm, MyTouch, Motorola. Both the iPhone and the Motorola, 16 gigs of storage capacity. The other two devices are less. Battery life, it looks like the Droid comes out the winner at 6.4 hours of talk, whereas the iPhone is supposedly 5 hours of 3G talk time. Yeah, right. Camera on the Droid wins 5.0 megapixel and video recording, whereas the iPhone is 3.0. Of course, the Palm Pre and MyTouch both have 3.0 plus cameras. All four of the devices have Wi-Fi. All four of the devices have GPS. The only one that does not have a voice commands is the Palm Pre. All of the phones support a variety of MPEG-4, H.264.MOV, M4V, MP4 video formats. So actually, let me look here. No. Only the iPhone supports .MOV, M4V, and MP4. The rest of them just are MPEG-4, H.263, and H.264 with OGG, WMA, AAC. So, yep, the iPhone only is the only one that continues to support .MOV, M4V, and MP4. All of them have an app store. Number of apps on the iPhone, 93,000. As compared to Motorola Droid, it's going to have about 10,000. Of course, that is because it's an Android phone. So, whereas the MyTouch 3G and the Motorola Droid are both have about 10,000 apps. Palm Pre is the one that's sucking. It's 258 apps only. Of course, the big thing, the thing I hate the most about the iPhone is that the iPhone doesn't multitask. You have to leave the device application front and center. If you change it out to a different app, it shuts down that app. I hate it. And why Apple didn't have a multitasking phone is beyond me, but that's the biggest negative on the iPhone. But of course, the Palm Pre, MyTouch, and Motorola Droid are basically multitaskers. Pricing wise, the price is about the same across the board, anywhere between $199 and $599. $199 with a contract, $599 without. Unlimited usage plans are almost the same exact price for iPhone and Motorola, whereas the Palm and the MyTouch by Sprint are $99 versus $149. Unlimited plan total cost, $3,799 for an iPhone, $3,799 for the Droid, with the MyTouch and Palm Pre coming in at $2,549 on a 24-month contract. So pretty close all you really have then is the deltas and actually how the phones do what they do. Love to hear when folks get their hands on these and what they think of them, okay? So we'll see if that's a heads up. How many of you Verizon users are going to go get yourself a Droid? I want to hear from you. Are you going to go get a Droid? Are you going to jump on the Droid bandwagon? All right. Hey, let's talk about an exciting thing. It's on Windows 7. Windows 7 has a virtual Wi-Fi. This is kind of cool. It's called Connectify. You can turn your Windows 7 laptop into a Wi-Fi hotspot. And really what it does is allows multiple computers or multiple devices. So I'm going to update my laptop probably tomorrow. And I go everywhere with my laptop, and it's connected to my EVDO cards, right? So I'm going to set the Connectify up on the laptop so that when I'm in the room with my iPhone, I can connect via the Wi-Fi signal that's on my laptop and use my EVDO card with my iPhone or other Wi-Fi device. This is cool, cool stuff for travelers because now I won't have to worry about connecting to a separate connection. I'll just use my EVDO connection on my PC. This is a beautiful thing. It really, really is. For those of you that upgraded to Windows 7, check out Connectify. This is one of the most smart things that Microsoft has ever done with the Wi-Fi connectivity in a laptop. It's not just a single device. Multiple devices can connect to that laptop. So if you've got a machine that you've got access to a big pipe on, well, guess what? That can be your router. Following me? Cool, cool stuff. I mean, this is going to change a lot of way people do things. It really, really is. Hey, I got a blog post here from Scoble that I want you to read. And it talks about why he's not using Google Reader anymore. Now, I'll be the first to admit I'm still a big Google Reader fan. I'll continue to be a Google Reader fan. But I was pretty impressed tonight with Twitter launching their list features. And one of the first lists I made was a list of just the Raw Voice internal team. And tomorrow I'll probably add the rest of our helpers and tech support people to that list. And if people want to actually follow the entire Raw Voice team, they can. And I'll have that as a public list on Twitter. And I'm going to make some more Twitter lists that are going to be, or it's going to break out individuals that provide me real good content, links, information, and not just the general chitter chatter. Scoble is already on this. And he's got four or five lists here that are pretty awesome. He says, I'm getting all my news from my list. Now, I got to figure out how to get Scoble's list connected to my RSS reader on Google Reader because that's how I want to, you know, get that stuff. So I don't want to have to follow it all the time. I want Google Reader out there grabbing those lists, culling those RSS feeds, and getting me all that data so when I go to check out later, I can. He's got tech news brands, tech news people, venture capitalists, favorite Twitters. Actually, he's got four. So this will give me examples on how the Google, how the Twitter list will work. Hey, huge payday today for Facebook. $711 million awarded in a spam lawsuit. Now, whether or not this guy is going to get the money or not, or whether Facebook is going to get the money or not, is another story. This is a huge, huge judgment against self-described spam king Sanford Wallace. Can you imagine sending out some spam? Of course, this guy was sending out billions of spam messages. And this is the second time this guy has had to pay out. He had to pay out $234 million to MySpace, and he's been sued by the Federal Trade Commission, fined $4.1 million by them. Now it's got this Facebook award of $711 million. So this is big. You know, that's like a round of funding for Facebook. Now, does the guy have the money to pay it? I don't know. We'll see. All right, Cisco has got a device that's been with the FCC for a review called the Flip Share TV Streamer. Now, you guys know what a flip camera is, right? Well, they're coming out with a Flip Share TV Streamer. And what it does is you can connect your flip camera to transfer the videos into it, or you can do it wirelessly to the receiver connected to the TV. It's nothing too thrilling, but it gives those of you that have a flip camera the ability really to easily get that video over onto your TV without having to, you know, run a bunch of cables. It's basically plugs right into your television. So this is pretty cool. Again, the Cisco FlipShare TV, this is outed on some FCC documents. We'll keep you advised on that. I also got a link here on Dave Weiner's site talking about Twitter lists and some of the limitations of it. I have you this link up. You guys can check it out for more information on Twitter list. Also, Google announced they responded to the FCC on Google Voice. Now, if you remember, Google has blocked a number of telephone numbers. And AT&T was screaming that, hey, this isn't fair, they shouldn't do that. But here's what Google's response was. It says, in our response to the FCC inquiry about Google Voice, we announced that our engineers had developed a tailored solution of restricting calls to specific numbers engaged in what some have called high-cost traffic pumping schemes like adult chat and free conference lines. We went to work on this fix because earlier this year we noticed an extremely high number of calls were made to an extremely small number of destinations. In fact, the top 10 telephone prefixes, the area codes plus the three digits of a seven-digit number, generated more than 160 times the expected traffic volumes and accounted for a whopping 26% of our monthly connection costs. So they blocked about 100 numbers, and this is the response they made to the FCC and why. And, free conference call, how many of you have used that? We use that quite a bit. Free conference calls is one of those services that run on one of these numbers that terminate in a high – basically there's a lot of money to exchange hands for that dropping into that that area code in which that service is. That's how those companies make money on those services. And AT&T and all the other groups hate those numbers just because of the high cost that they have to pay to terminate there. But Google's response to the FCC, whether it's good or bad, I don't know, but they have responded. All right, WordPress for iPhone. WordPress for iPhone 2 is now available in App Store, getting rave reviews. So those of you that are WordPress blogs and have iPhones, go get that app, download it. Everyone's saying great things about it. As well, I've never been real positive on apps that translate English to Spanish and so forth. But there's a new iPhone app that translates English to Spanish and back as you speak. And you don't have to be connected to the internet. It costs $24.99. All you do is speak into your iPhone's microphone, and then the translation is played on the speaker. I'd love to have someone that is fluent in Spanish and English download this app and let me know how well it works. Now, it's $24.99. If we have someone in the audience that is fluent in Spanish, which I know we do, I'll pay for the app. Okay? You send me an email. You have to be fluent. Don't try to scam me here. But I want you to test this thing and tell me how good it is. You can send us a little rendition. I'll pay the $24.99 for the app and for you to do a review on it. I want to know how good this thing works. If it works good, then come on, English to Japanese. Those are the Ubuntu users. 9.10 is out, so you can upgrade to 9.1. That's available. Also, I've got a cool link here to 12 essential plugins that extend WordPress as a CMS. So some pretty good CMS, actually some good plugins to really, it really expands the capability of WordPress and makes it a true content management system. Kind of makes it a very unique install. So pay attention to that. But anyway, I have the link up in the show notes for you. Google Maps, oh my goodness. Have they done a slam dunk on the phones? Google Map navigation for Android is available today. So if you've got an Android phone, Android 2.0, the Google Maps navigation plugin is available. You're going to get it as part of the Android 2.0 install. They've got it submitted to Apple. If Apple approves it, we're going to be able to get it for the iPhone. This is this very same day that several Navigator devices have come out that will sell separately, or you can buy the Navi for $99. Google is going to kill these companies. Matter of fact, the stocks in I think it's NAVI, N-A-V-I, went down today with this announcement. It's a free GPS application. Say, okay, I need to go from here to here. The phone talks to you. Turn right, turn left. Here's your path. This is big. Google Maps for mobile. Get directions on the go. And we'll see how well it works. I'd love to hear some feedback for those of you that get a hold of this. If it's because I find my navigator system at times is a little bit behind. And, you know, be careful with these navigators, too. They'll drive you off a cliff. Mine has tried to take me down some back roads recently in Florida that I did not want to be on. All right, Innit address is set for change. And the reason I'm speeding up here is because we're already at hour 5, and I have some emails to go through. The Internet regulators has approached plans to allow non-Latin script web addresses in a move that is set to transform the online world. So the ICON voted its annual meeting in Seoul to allow domain names in Arabic, Chinese, and other scripts. So more than 1.6 billion people who use the Internet speak language with non-Latin scripts are now going to be able to basically have kanji and Chinese characters and so forth actually resolve to an IP. That for us that don't understand those particular symbols is going to be a challenge. So I could see that it'll be a curious implementation by these companies that want to have a worldwide presence. But the first internationalized domain names, IDNs, could be in use next year. And we knew that since June of 2008 that this was a plan that was set in motion, but it was finally approved and some technical challenges have been met. So we'll see what happens with the domain name system and in this introduction of non-Latin domain names. Hey, talked about list as well on Twitter list. Google is now indexing those Twitter lists. I'll have an example up in the show notes. Should have had that back in that other article. And the last article of the night is, you know, my good friend Callie, Callie Lewis, she's recently been on the road, and she takes her show on the road, and she does usually does her Geek Brief videos outside somewhere when they're traveling. And they weren't able to find a good location, and so she actually shot her Geek Brief TV in her hotel room. And I love some of the pictures she's provided on how she's got her set up. I'd love to be able to do my show this way, but I don't think I'll ever be able to really make it happen. But she actually surprised me that she uses a teleprompter. I thought her shows were unscripted, but apparently her shows are 100% scripted. And she works off a teleprompter, so that kind of surprised me. But she uses a pretty good HD camera by Panasonic. She uses a couple of light panels that are similar to what I'm going to buy here for the studio. And she used a pro prompter with a Mimeo display for her teleprompting stuff. So I was really kind of surprised to read that she'd used a teleprompter. And I don't know if she does it for the whole show or not. But I can guarantee you don't do an hour and 15 minutes with a teleprompter. It's hard to do video straight up without stopping. So no teleprompter for me, my friends. All right, let me go ahead here and get into I've got a voicemail that's really pretty long. Let me look at the time. Yes, we can get it in if we go fast. It's a ghost story from one of our listeners. I have not previewed this, so let me go ahead and play it. Here we go.
Hi, Todd. This is Jose Alvarez from the great state of California.
Hey.
I would like to start my Halloween stories for this episode.
What you got?
Well, I would like to start with one of my stories. This story was when I was about 6 years old, and I remember that my whole family, you know, my parents, some uncles, my grandparents, we were around the table, you know, and this table was against a wall, you know, and some were standing up, some were sitting down, and I just remember seeing this ball about the size of a tennis ball, you know, and it was kind of fluffy, well, not fluffy, but similar to a tennis ball, you know. It wasn't solid, but it was like this, like similar to a tennis ball, you know, but slightly bigger, and it was white. So I remember seeing this tennis ball size ball, you know, white, coming from, you know, and I saw it from my corner, and from the corner of my eye, went through everybody, you know, through
it went through
the
everybody?
Legs of almost everybody from my right side to left, you know, but toward the table. So it went, you know, through the everybody and to under the table, and when it hit the wall, it disappeared. And the weirdest part of it was floating. Yeah, it wasn't touching the floor, it was floating, you know. So that was the weirdest thing. And so that's my first story. My second story was when I was the same, about the same age, you know, about the same time. One night, I was sleeping on my parents' bed, and my head was near the window, you know. The bed was next to the window, and you know my mom was sleeping there, but I was like near the end of the bed, you know, across the bed, right? But anyways, and I could see the window, you know, the curtain and the window, you know. And you know, obviously the curtain sometimes have a gap between the window and everything. But anyways, I remember that night looking up the window, you know, between the curtain and the window, and then all of a sudden, suddenly I saw a face of a alien. Believe it or not, dude,
looking
it was
the
face of an alien, you know, but it was white, you know, white, you know. It was oval, you know, the typical oval shape of an alien, with big black eyes, small dots for the nose, and a very thin line for the mouth. And when I saw that, I told my mom, "Hey, mom, are you seeing what I'm seeing?" She's like, "Whoa, what are you seeing?" I'm seeing this face, this white face in the window, and it wasn't like someone's face, but it was like the face was at the window, you know, like. So I'm like, "Hey, mom, I'm seeing this white face at the window," and from there, she didn't respond to anything. And now that I'm big and everything, I usually ask her, you know, why wouldn't you respond, you know, when I was telling you about the white face on the window back in Mexico. She has told me that she was so scared she covered her face with the blanket, you know, she had right there. So, you know, right now I kind of cracked me up, you know, by, you know, remembering everything. But yeah, back then I was heck of scary, you know, seeing that white face and the window and everything.
So I have to ask you, was it someone peeking in the window or what? You know, if you saw a white face looking in the window, you know, did you yell at it? Did you just, what did you do? To me, that would have like tripped me out. I don't think it ever looked out the window again. But thanks for sending in a couple of your ghost stories. Yeah, kind of weird stuff that happens when you see. But if I see an alien looking out the window, well, you know, these days, you better say hi. Oh, gosh. All right, let me go ahead and knock out the emails here real quick. I've got an email from the folks over at Citrix, and it's from a friend of mine over there named Megan. She does some stuff for their online services, but she wanted to let me know that Citrix Mac Beta of GoToMyPC is now available. For those of you that are have used GoToMyPC on the Windows side, now it's available on Mac as a beta. If you're a Mac user, and this is how you can actually get a free trial of GoToMyPC, just go over to gotomypc.com/podcast, and that'll get you a free trial of GoToMyPC of the Mac beta. Love to hear you guys, as any of you that are Mac users that are using that app, let me know how you make out on it. Got a direct message from, actually, I think that was it. Just a couple of emails. You guys are like not loving me right now. Not too many emails, not too many voicemails. That's okay. I know everyone's busy. But I think that's it. I think that's it for tonight. I hope you guys enjoyed the Halloween stories. And those of you that are up on Ustream, thanks for hanging out with me. It's been fun. And let me know if you go over to Blip or to YouTube, and I'll put the link up to the account over there. And let me know what you think of the videos I'm putting up. Of course, they run about 12 hours behind the audio portion of the show. And if you're coming over for the very first time from YouTube or Blip and checking out the show, I want to thank you for hanging out today with me for the podcast. No more ghost stories on the next show. We'll be into a new month. But it's been my pleasure. Everyone have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Take care of your kids. Watch out. There's a lot of weirdos out there on trick-or-treating. If you've taken them out for Halloween, check that candy, okay? Don't want nobody to get anything nasty. So until next time, again, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or the voicemail hotline at +1-619-342-7365. Links and email, of course, in the show notes and on the website at geeknewscentral.com. Until next time, everyone, take care. And aloha.